But you know, this is a time of year when a lot of people that aren't Christians, they fight with depression. You know, the holidays are over, and usually, and the Lord's blessed us this year because we've had lots of sunshine, but usually in the month of January, in this part of the country, it's gray and overcast. And people that don't know Christ, people that don't have the hope and the joy that we have in Jesus, they fight depression. And this morning, I want to remind you of a secret weapon that we have against depression. It's not really, I guess a secret weapon would be the wrong thing to describe it as, because it's not a secret. It's the Holy Spirit. And one of the things that the Holy Spirit does for us is console us. He's our comforter. If you look up that word comfort in the Bible dictionary, it means one that consoles or one that encourages. And so I want to spend a couple minutes this morning reminding you that are Christians that we have part of God, all of God. I mean, we try to divide it into the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, but it's all of God that lives with us every single day. And one of the things that He does for us is our encouragement. Now, to lay the foundation, let me just ask you a question. Do you think the disciples were ever depressed when they were with Jesus? I don't want you to raise your hand, but I just want you to think about that. I think they might have been a little depressed when He was arrested and taken to trial, and maybe a little depressed when He hung on the cross, because they didn't know what was going on, and they didn't understand quite fully yet what was happening. But other than at the very end of His life, I don't think the disciples were depressed at all. In fact, I think they had a great time being with Christ. You see, I don't think that they could be depressed being with Jesus. I mean, He was with them physically. They lived and they ate and they slept together day after day after day after day. And in the presence of Christ, I think you would have to work awful hard to be depressed. Now, Judas might have been a little depressed when he realized he was missing the point of the whole thing. But the other 11, I think they were on the top side all the time. And I think they were on the top side because not only was Jesus with them, Jesus was teaching them about the kingdom of God. He was talking to them about the Father. He was talking to them about heaven. And He was giving them instructions on how they could live their life in the world that they lived. I mean, any problem that they might have had, any heartache they might have had, I'm sure they had some in the 3.5 years that they were with the Savior. But He was not only there, but He said, I'm going to teach you how to get through it. I'm going to help you to get through it. And then as He began to talk about the end of His life, as He began to talk about the crucifixion, as He began to talk about dying and laying in the grave, and again, I know they didn't understand it, but He taught them about what He was going to do. He taught them about the price that He was going to pay for their sins. And because He was there, and because He was with them, and because He taught them about the things of God, and because He taught them about Himself, I don't think they spent very long, if at all, down in the valley, down being depressed. Now, when we get saved, the Holy Spirit moves in. And Adam read 3 verses from John chapter 14, and then a couple of verses from John chapter 14, and then one from John chapter 15 about the Holy Spirit of God. It said there in John chapter 14, verse 16, "And I will pray the Father that He shall give you another comforter, that He may abide with you forever." Jesus said to His disciples, I'm getting ready to go back to heaven. In fact, in John chapter 14, that's the chapter, it says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you." And He says, I'm getting ready to go back to heaven. I'm going to be your advocate with the Father. But there, in my place, there's going to come another comforter, another encourager, another consoler. And even I've only been able to stay 3.5 years. When this next comforter comes, He is going to be with you forever. Amen. Forever. And then He said in John chapter 14, verse 26, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I said unto you." Not only when the next Comforter comes is He going to be with you forever, but He is going to do the same thing that I've done with you while I've been here. He's going to teach you about God. And He's going to teach you about the kingdom of God. And He's going to teach you about heaven. And he's going to teach you about how to live in this world that you have to live in. I'll just tell you what. The world and Satan has it in for the Christian. Satan wants us to be depressed. That's why good news doesn't sell. That's why on the TV news and in the newspapers, most of the stuff you read is negative. It's just because Satan knows that if he can depress us, then he's defeated us in our Christian life. And the world and Satan will do everything they can to a Christian to try to get them down in the valley to have what I call that Eeyore syndrome. You know, some of you may have not been exposed to Winnie the Pooh lately, but there's a little donkey that in that story that he walks around and all he says is, "Woe is me." And Satan knows that if he can get us to have the Eeyore syndrome, he's got us. But when the Holy Spirit comes, Jesus said, he's going to be with you always, and he is going to remind you of the things that I taught you while I was here. And then in John chapter 15, verse 26, Jesus said this, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." Now you listen, one of the greatest things that the Holy Spirit does for us as our encourager is that he reminds us what Jesus Christ did for us on Calvary. We were sinners. I mean, we had broken God's law. And I mentioned Thursday in the funeral service, and I say it again here. It doesn't take many sins or big sins to make you a sinner. In fact, the Bible says it just takes one. And if you want to describe big sins and little sins, you can. I don't think there's any difference. But it only takes one sin to make us a sinner. In the book of James, it says, "He that keepeth the whole law yet offendeth it in one point is guilty of all." And we were sinners. And there was a penalty to pay for that sin. And that penalty was to be separated from God forever. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. When we were yet sinners, he loved us and sent Jesus to die for us. And when Jesus went to the cross, he took all of my sins and all of your sins, God did, and put them on Jesus Christ. And when he hung on that cross, he died for every single one of our sins. And the Holy Spirit reminds us of that. The Holy Spirit reminds us that one day we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. We confess that we were a sinner, and we confess that we needed him. And the Bible says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God." And that's one of the great things that the Holy Spirit does to us. He testifies of Christ and reminds us how we got saved. And by the way, if you're here this morning and you're not saved, you can this morning. You're a sinner. You face the same penalty that all of us did before we got saved, that penalty of being separated from Christ and God forever in that place called hell. But Jesus died for you. For you. Just like he died for me and died for all the others that are here this morning that know Christ already. He died for you. And if you'll receive him, if you'll just trust him, if you'll say, "Hey, I'm going to believe what this old preacher says, that what God says in this book is true, and if I will just receive Christ, he'll save me, take care of all my sins." And the Holy Spirit reminds us of what happened when we got saved. Now, sometimes the Holy Spirit works alone to encourage us. Sometimes we're all by ourselves. Sometimes there's no other people around us. And sometimes it's just us and the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has to work on us and use us to work on ourselves. Over in 1 Samuel chapter 30, there's a story about David. He and his men had been off preparing to go to battle. They didn't get to go. And they came back to their hometown, and an enemy had taken all their families and all their possessions away. And his men were so discouraged and depressed, the Bible says they talked about stoning David. And the Bible says David had to encourage himself. And sometimes the Holy Spirit has to do that with us. He has to use us to encourage ourselves. He has to remind us to remind ourselves that He is with us. He has to remind us to remind ourselves about the kingdom of God in heaven. He has to use us to remind ourselves about what happened when we got saved and the price that Jesus paid for our salvation. And so sometimes it's just us and the Holy Spirit, and He has to use us to remind us of the things that He uses to encourage us. But most of the time, when the Holy Spirit works to console us, to comfort us, He is using somebody else in our life, another Christian, to remind us. And by the way, that other Christian is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit is using that person to do the things that that the Holy Spirit does to encourage us, remind us that Christ is, that remind us that the Holy Spirit is with us all the time, remind us about heaven, remind us about the kingdom of God, and remind us about what Jesus did for us when He saved us. And this morning, here's my message, just one point. We'll talk about more of it, give you more details tonight if you come back. But the Sunday morning crowd needs to hear this one point. I know most of you won't be back tonight, and I'm not mad at you or anything, but sometimes I have to preach a Sunday night message on Sunday morning so I can get the Sunday morning people to hear what they should have heard on Sunday night. And that's this. Because God uses other people in our life and the indwelling that they have of the Holy Spirit to encourage us, my point is this morning, don't discourage your encourager. Adam read that verse from Ephesians chapter 4 where it says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." Don't distress. Don't discourage the Holy Spirit. Now most of us think, that when we read that verse, we think, well, that's talking about the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. And that's true, and we'll talk tonight about how we can grieve the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. But I think the greater application is, when we grieve the Holy Spirit that lives in somebody else, who is trying to use that somebody else to encourage us. For example, let me just give you an example. Husband and wife, both Christians. Do you know that the Holy Spirit uses your spouse, if they're a Christian, to encourage you? I mean, that's part of that's what the Holy Spirit does. I mean, ladies, God can use you, and the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you can use you to be an encouragement to your husband. As he goes out into the world to make a living, or as he enjoys his days of retirement and has to do all the things that, and I know people are more busy most of the time when they retire than when they work. But as he does all those things that he has to do, the Holy Spirit wants to use you to encourage him as he does that. Vice versa. Men, husbands, the Holy Spirit wants to use you to encourage your wife, whether they work or whether they stay at home, whatever they do, the Holy Spirit wants to use you to be an encouragement to them. And we grieve the Holy Spirit when we discourage our encourager. I mean, if you're a husband and you're discouraging your wife, she can't encourage you so that you can encourage him. I mean, it goes back and forth. And if you're grieving the Holy Spirit, she can't do what she needs to do. And vice versa. Let me give you an example. Man comes home from work. He asks his wife, "How was your day?" And she says, "I had a terrible day. The washing machine broke. Little Johnny broke his arm. They put my brother in jail. And Mom's coming to spend a month with us." How do you think he's going to go to dinner? "Oh, woe is me." Or about this. How about the husband comes home, and the wife meets him at a door with a smile and a little kiss and says, "Oh, I prepared your favorite dinner for you tonight." He says, "Good, I'm hungry." He goes in, takes the paper, sits down at the table, reads the paper and eats behind the paper, doesn't say a word, and then goes to the couch and falls asleep. How do you think she's going to feel? Not very encouraged. See, she was trying to be an encouragement to you. She made your favorite meal, met you at the door with a smile and a kiss. And I'm not trying to stereotype. Please forgive me. I'm not. I'm just using that as an example, although it'd be a pretty good stereotype. I'm just using it as an example. But she's trying to encourage you. And you've discouraged her, and she's not going to be able to encourage you. And here's my point this morning. The Holy Spirit wants to use different people in our life to be an encouragement to us. Don't grieve them. Don't discourage your encourager. Just let the Holy Spirit work. Look, if you've got to tell your husband that the washing machine broke, and little Johnny broke his arm, and your brother was thrown in jail, and your mom's coming to visit for a month, ladies, here's what I'd suggest. Make him his favorite dinner. After dinner, take him to the couch and smooch him a little bit. And then whisper in his ear, "Honey, the washing machine broke today." He'd say, "That thing was old anyway. We needed to get a new one." Amen? And then whisper, "Little Johnny broke his arm today." "Well, boys will be boys, you know, that's the way it works sometimes. They put my brother in jail." "Well, maybe we can help him. We go down and visit him and maybe we can help him." "And mom's coming to spend a month. I always enjoy her visits. Let her come." Now see, when you do it that way, you're encouraging your encourager. Because if you get him down, the Holy Spirit in him is not going to be able to do what he needs for you. Let me just go ahead and finish the example and then I'll quit. You come home. Your wife meets you at the door. Smile on her face. Gives you a good long smooch. Now, after the sermon, you're going to worry about what she's going to tell you. I know. I'm not trying to get you to do that. But she meets you at the door with a kiss. She's got your favorite dinner. Tell you what to do. Throw away the paper. Throw away the paper. Go in there and you sit down and you look her in the eyes after you eat a couple bites and you say, "Boy, I know this is my favorite meal, but you've done it. You've topped yourself this time." You mean I should lie? No, tell the truth. I'm not saying a lie. I'm talking about telling the truth. That's the best meal you've had today, isn't it? Huh? Best one of your favorite meals you've had today. Look her in the eye and say, "That's the best meal that I've had today. And I know it took a lot of work to make it. And I just want to let you know I appreciate it." And then you take her to the couch and do some smooching. And that will encourage her. Now listen, so many times we discourage, and maybe we don't do it on purpose, but we do it without thinking about it. So many times we discourage the very people that God has put in our life as our encouragers. I mean, they want to lift us up. They want to help us get back on the top side. And they will do that by reminding us that God is good and that God has given us each other. One of my jobs as a pastor is supposed to encourage you. Man, if I came in here week after week with the Eeyore complex, "Oh, folks, you just won't believe what happened this week. It was a terrible, terrible, terrible week." You going to be encouraged? No. I mean, I felt like I've encouraged you a little bit this morning just because I made you laugh a little bit. Huh? And that's what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to encourage you. And by the way, you encourage me. You know, when I was talking about Jesus a moment ago, when a bunch of you said amen, that was an encouragement to me. When I got your attention, I mean, I don't see anybody this morning. That's a discouragement sometimes. Especially when there's more than one. But when you're like this, when you're sitting up and you're looking at me and you're smiling and you're nodding your head and you're with me, that's an encouragement to me. And so all I'm saying this morning, just one little point I want to get across to you. God has put people in your life that the Holy Spirit wants to use to be an encouragement to you, to lift you up, to help you remember that we've got a good God, to help you remember that heaven is coming, to help you remember what Jesus did for us on Calvary. He's got people in our life that he wants us, that he wants to use to do that. Let him. Let him. Don't be a discouragement to your encourager. Just listen to what they say and realize that you're an encourager to them. That God wants to use the Holy Spirit and you to be an encouragement to them. And it goes like this. You encourage them, they encourage you. You encourage them, they encourage you. You encourage them, they encourage you. Don't break the cycle. Don't break the cycle. Because we have something that the world doesn't know anything about. We have the joy and we have the peace that comes from knowing that we're saved and on our way to heaven and that we have God that resides in every single one of us to do those things that Jesus talked about. He'll teach you of the things of God, and he'll testify of me, and he'll be with you forever and ever and ever and ever. Now, I'm going to close. If you're here today and you're not saved, you have no idea of what I'm talking about. You have no idea of what I'm talking about to have your sins forgiven, and you have no idea of what I'm talking about to have God living inside of you to be that encouragement. This morning, I want to tell you, you can have it. Just admit that you're a sinner. Understand that there's a penalty for that sin. And understand when Jesus went to Calvary, he paid the price. He offers it to every single person as a gift. The gift of God. Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. All you got to do is take it. All you got to do is take it. All you got to do is say, hey, Jesus, I may not understand it all completely, but I know I'm a sinner. And I believe that old preacher when he says that you died in my place. And this morning, I'm claiming that for myself. And the Bible says that if you'll do that, he'll take away all your sins. Your name will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life up in heaven, and Jesus will start your mansion up there. If you're here today and you don't know Christ, well, just take him. Just take him. And if you're a Christian, then you rejoice that you have a comforter who is ever with you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for this reminder from your word about what the Holy Spirit does for us. And I pray that we would not be a discourager to our encourager. I pray that we'd let the Holy Spirit do his work inside of us and use us to be an encouragement to others and for others to be an encouragement to us. Father, I pray if there's somebody here this morning that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, I pray that they'd put aside all the excuses. They'd put aside all the things that Satan would put in front of them. And they would simply say, I'm a sinner. I know there's a penalty for that sin, and I believe that when Jesus went to Calvary, he went for me. And this morning, right now, at this very moment, I'm going to take him. I'm going to trust him. I'm going to ask him to save me. And Father, help him to do that. Every single person here that doesn't know Christ, please help him to do that. Bless this time of invitation. Help those that need to come. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.